This video is brought to you by Holocasa. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description. Hello and welcome everyone to our 123rd session of Holocasa. My name is Michael and today I'm talking to Myron Vailik from Montreal, Quebec in Canada. Myron has over 50 years of experience, has started many businesses, hit rock bottom and reinvented himself after losing all his money. Myron, it's a high pleasure for me to have you on the show. Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, well, it's not always, I have to tell the audience, thank you very much for having me. It's not always I talk to someone living based in Lisbon and one of my favorite cities. So it's also a pleasure to meet you. Everybody should know that it's 9 o'clock at night in Lisbon and you're in Lisboa, as they would say, and it's Portugal, a most beautiful country. I'm great and I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. I probably could work for the tourism department in Montreal and it would be not difficult. I'd do it for free. I mean, I know I'm not objective because I was born and bred here. I lived there all my life, travel, but I do love the city dearly. I travel all over the world, many cities. It is still home and my favorite city in the world, but obviously I'm a little bit prejudiced. It's a phenomenal city. I know it's a challenge to put it nicely in the winter here, of course, November to March. But, you know, like Mark Twain said, you can't talk about what you can't control. You know, waste your time in life. So you get used to it or you go away or move away or do what you want to do. You know what I mean? For a while where it's warm. But Montreal, I think, I don't know, for 4 or 5 million people, it's a phenomenal cosmopolitan metropolis made up of so many different little areas. It's a gastronomical feast. It has a United Nations of foods. And the great thing about the foods here in Montreal is extremely affordable, Mike. It has its better so-called, well, I don't know if they use the word better, more expensive restaurants. Better doesn't mean more expensive, more money. Because the great food is very well costed and tremendous variety of little restaurants in Montreal, almost everything you can think about, including of course Portuguese food, which is very popular. It also, as I understand, overtook Paris recently as the number one student city in the world. There are 4 or 5 universities here. Literally, it's incredible. Come September till March, well, till April, May, June, you know, the academic year, in universities and colleges, the city is just bursting, brimming with activity and students from many from all over the world. There's many, many, many international, many local, but many internationals from India, Europe, Asia, all over the world come here. I don't know if they always stay, but they certainly come here for an opportunity to experience Montreal, to experience the education. And it's extremely student-friendly city. I think it's compared to many cities in North America and probably the world, but at least North America, which is the only one I have a real handle of comparing to, as I don't, not as familiar with cities of Paris, London, obviously, been there. It's very affordable, generally speaking, even though it's gone up tremendously in price in the last couple of years, but compared to a lot of cities, it's very affordable. It has so many cool spots. It's an extremely progressive, tolerant city. I also think it's one of the few cities where recently now, the city council, anybody over 65 can ride the subways and the buses for free, day and night, 24/7, which I think is very cool. Mm-hmm. I understand we're not the only ones, but we're probably one of the very few. It's not a temporary thing. It's forever, hopefully. I think that was a great thing that the mayor did, quite frankly. 65, not 95. 65. So, and we have a great transportation system, phenomenal transport, metro. We just began, I think you may read about it. They call it for the acronym is REM, which is above ground subway, basically. Brand new, just started in certain parts of Montreal, and eventually it's going to connect the airport directly to downtown the next 2, 3, 4 years by 27, which is going to be phenomenal for people coming here because you can get there 20 minutes or 15 minutes and you don't have the same traffic issues and all that. So I think that's, and it's going to parts of the city where the metropolis of Montreal where it badly needed. So that's a great asset. Again, the arts, cultural scene, it's a very progressive city, which is very important. Of course, come April, May, the festivals, it's the king of festivals in the world, The world's largest jazz festival is here, largest jazz festival. I know Switzerland has a phenomenal one, but I think Montreal, the world's largest comedy festival is here. It goes on and on. We kind of make up for being hibernating a bit in the winter, if you do hibernate. So the city literally explodes with love and energy and creativity come April, May, Mike, till about now. You know what I mean? And then it gets a little tougher because all the festivals take advantage. They're not all outdoors, but they take advantage of the good weather and marathons. As far as real estate is concerned, just tell you, it's got tremendous value compared to most Canadian and American major cities. You compare Toronto, Vancouver, New York, Chicago, LA, the rentals, the purchase prices, it still has tremendous value compared to most places. So it's attractive. And I think for people who maybe are not as familiar with Montreal, particularly Americans, they automatically gain 35, 40% of their exchange, which is tremendous. And it's tremendous value in terms of buying apartment buildings here, condos, et cetera. That helped.
Absolutely. Can you give us an overview on the neighborhoods upcoming, maybe set, already a little bit saturated? Where do you think it might be interesting to buy? And also maybe a little bit regarding commercial versus residential. So that we have like an also an overview of the living situation and also of upcoming neighborhoods versus saturated ones.
Yeah, there's again, there's a lot of new development. Yeah, there's projects area called Le Plateau. Le Plateau, which is kind of like the near the downtown area. I'm trying to think. There's an area called Rosemount here, which is a great little suburb I find. There are areas which is near the main Rue Saint Laurent. Sorry, I'm trying to remember all of them right now. There's a lot of in the surrounding area of the downtown core. There's some tremendous cool development areas, for example, that the prices of apartment rentals and condominiums have shot through the roof. They're become very attractive. And of course, like every major, at least North American metropolitan city, we have our growing suburbs. You know, there's a city called Laval, which is just adjacent, which is the second, I think, or third largest already city in all of the province of Quebec, which is a major bursting metropolis on its own. So there's many different suburbs for many different price points in Montreal. You know, where to live and where to live, depending on your financial situation, depending on your personal situation. Are you married? Do you have kids? You know, like everywhere else, do you have to be concerned about schools, about where your kids play, where they go, so you want parks. It depends what you want. Are you single? Are you a student from out of town? Then you can live a certain, so it depends where. Just and the other thing, which is a big, big plus, generally speaking, it's a relatively very safe city, alone, people traveling alone, generally speaking, thank God, which is, of course, you know, a paramount importance to security today, especially for a city this size. I mean, generally, you know, we have our challenges, but generally it has its share of homelessness, like in most cities, but it's trying to deal with it. Sometimes it does better some days than others. I don't think it's as severe as other places, but it's a challenge. It's a problem. There's no question. So we have all our challenges.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Give us an overview right now on your business and what you're focusing on, and also like your service offerings.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's one of the reasons why I hope I'm here. I have no qualms of saying an omen's words. I'm 70 going on 50. And I'm called a jackhammer. As you all know, in the construction industry, in real estate, the jackhammer is a real machine that people bring in to blast away a hole where everything else fails. But it's a great metaphor in life because the whole point of a jackhammer, it's extremely powerful, consistent, and it keeps going until it does the job. It doesn't stop. So as you can see the metaphor, it's pretty easy for anything. So I think most people know the name, and it's a very particular, peculiar name. You know, unless you know what it does, you say, what the hell is a jackhammer? Okay, it doesn't really say what it does. Obviously, it's one of these things that don't say what it does unless you know what it does. But that's okay. Most people do. So I've been you know, for 16 years, I was down and out, lost a business 20 something years ago, Mike, which was really rough and definitely hit rock bottom. Anymore, I wouldn't be talking to you. And it took me 16 years, but yeah, believe it or not, 16 years, but I reinvented myself at 67. Yeah, I repeat, 67. I wish it was 37 and 47. I'd have a lot more runway left, but I don't, you know, to do what I want, where to go. But I did, and by accident, you know, I stayed young. By staying young, I don't mean I went to the gym every day, even though that's good, or I changed my diet, even though that's good. I went to a lot of networking events. So I dragged myself out of bed. I was working at jobs while I was struggling. And the only thing the best thing I did for myself, and everybody at these networking events, as you know, are in their 20s and 30s, mainly talking about their next technology business or startup that they're gonna jump on. And everybody in their 20s and 30s is talking about the future, their dreams. There is no past yet, fortunately. There is some disappointment, but there's only a future. And that's all they care about. And they're, of course, unbridled enthusiasm because life hasn't hit them down yet too much. Okay. So they still believe everything's possible, okay, whether it is or not. And they're going full force. So they're like, you know, they're like on the Olympics, you know, marathon. They don't know how to stop. So enthusiasm is their gas. So that becomes infectious. And I learned, I got inspired, educated, and mainly listened. But it was always to do with, God bless, with technology, you know, some form of it, because that's what they're growing up on. And that's what is prominence to most people. They never really talked about real estate. It just wasn't on the radar of it. Until one day I walk into, and it's almost like a movie. I walk into a networking event at night, and there's a young man at 35 years old in the real estate business. Now, he had no more reason to be there than you would go to a meeting, Mike. I know you're mainly focused on real estate and related issues, but if there was an orthopedic surgeon convention, I don't think you would go because it's not really in your wheelhouse. But let's say you went for some reason. You're not really sure why you went, but you were curious you went, and somebody met you, and out of that meeting, something wonderful happened. Well, you know, there's really no rhyme and reason. It makes you think, how did that happen? Who sent you there or the other person there? So I don't want to get too dramatic about it, but he was there just starting a real estate business in his mid-30s with a partner, buying off-market, you know, meaning that it's not listed, small six-unit apartment buildings. There are many what they call multiplexes in Montreal. Fortunately, there are many, many in Montreal. There are most cities. Almost every city has their degree. Montreal has many of them at different sizes, from six to hundreds of units, apartment units. And we struck up a friendship. And again, he was there because he was curious. That's all. He wasn't in technology, which he should have been. So we struck up a friendship, and he needed the help in financing to continue his growth of his business like anyone would. I found him financing quite a bit. That helped. I was remunerated. And then one day I went with him to look at a property that he just found. Asked him if I could help find off-market properties. Show me what you did. Show me how. And it just turned out that he was growing so fast, Mike. He didn't have the time or the energy to keep looking for these off-market properties because he was finding them. He was busy trying to manage his building. At this point, he was 60, 70, 80 units. And as you grow, you either delegate or you have a problem. So he said, sure. And I found him three off-market properties. And then I realized I was very good at it. And I expanded 3.5 years later to do over $40 million in property acquisitions for my consulting work, where I find over 80 investors now, off-market properties ranging from multiplex apartment buildings, 6 to 30, 40, 50 units, to industrial. These are things we're focused on now. Industrial land where they're building warehouses, which is big because of all the online business they need, the Amazons of the world, etc. And what's called strip centers, which are little shopping centers. And that's how it grew from there. It started from there, and that's what I still do today.
What do you think is your gift that you are calling yourself, or that you're such a jackhammer? Do you think there's something in your DNA? Do you think there's something that you say, okay, this is your mindset? Has something happened to you early in your life that you say this was somehow like the aha effect or the aha moment, so that you know, like, keep going. Energy is basically like attracting energy, and once you stop going, the energy also fades. Or do you have like another methodology there?
I'll answer it bluntly. It had nothing to do with DNA, skills, or experience. It's called desperation and fear. I had nothing to lose. When you have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and you certainly don't want to go out and surrender at 50, at 65 years old with zero, and you can't put gas in your car, or you can't pay the rent, you either find a way, as my father said, or you make a way, or you surrender and you die, it's over. To be perfectly blunt, if that's not a good enough thing to put a firecracker under your behind, then nothing is enough good enough. So bottom line was, I had to find a way, or I was out of the arena forever. So it turned out, I don't know how, because forever I was struggling to find where was my place, where could I find my strength. And believe me, after 16 years of being down and out, you get many, many times you think you're not going to ever find it. I mean, come on. Other people, I mean, you hear other stories, you think it's BS and you don't want to listen to it anytime because it happened to them, but it didn't happen to you. And you're doing what you think you can do, but nothing's happening, nothing's changing. 16 years is a long time. I mean, it's like being in jail, a depression jail, you know, it's a long time. But somehow, if I keep going, the truth is I'm proof, living proof, that if I can do it, anybody can do it, it can happen. If he could stick around and not give up.
Do you allow me to ask you what exactly happened specifically in order to lose the money, and what does rock bottom exactly look like?
My business was just, you know, I didn't adapt it. I didn't change it. I didn't progress with the times. I didn't diversify. I made a lot of mistakes and I lost it. That was it after 20 years.
So you also lost entire money. Like you were.
I lost money, but I lost, more importantly, I lost myself. Most important, you know, because I had no idea the devastation. I lost myself. I have to tell you one thing. I was fortunate. I've been married to a woman from Brooklyn, New York for 36 years, and love kind of helped me get through it too. It wasn't, at the end of the day, I know it sounds like a poor romantic movie, rom-com, but in this case, it's true. But it wasn't, you know, that wasn't, I still had to do what I had to do. But having somebody who doesn't abandon you and is still there and believes in you, but you still got to do it yourself. You still got to walk that walk, talk that talk. Her or no one else can do it for you. That can help, but it can't, it's not a solution, and it can't fix it for you. You either can fix it or you don't fix it. That's not by itself. While it's a tremendous support and boon, and all day long, much rather have it than not, that will not make the difference for you. You make the difference for yourself, or nobody else will. Because if you're not happy with yourself and miserable with yourself, unsuccessful, there's nothing anybody can do for you. Even someone that loves you.
You have one. You had one position where you were very focused on cold calling, which also allowed you to close a deal between Heidi Klum and New Balance. And it was like, right. I think 2008 or 2006.
2012, correct.
Yeah. First and foremost, I have a huge respect for people being very good at cold calling, because I know it's a skill and I know I'm not good at it myself. Can you share us like some techniques that or tactics where you say, okay, this is actually, you have to, I don't know, you have to be good at it, you have to do X, Y, Z in order to make sure that you get a hold of the person on the other side of the line?
All I can say is you have to be like an army tank. You know, you keep going, you don't take anything personally. Whoever says no, you believe that all you need is one yes or two yeses, but you need 1,000 phone calls for it. And when it's done, and you can't do it for too many hours because you're gonna blow your brains out. That's all I can say. And you keep in mind your objective. Why the hell are you doing it? It better be strong enough.
I like that. Thank you so much.
Well, the other thing is when I got New Balance, I was excited and motivated because I believed in what I was doing. I had Heidi Klum because the person I worked for had the license, but I needed to get the counterpart. So I knew it made sense, and I was right. I also have reached out to big companies like Sesame Street and Martha Stewart, FIFA. So I don't reach out to call asking for coffee. I reach out because I believe in my heart somewhere, somehow, if you make sense, if you have something to offer them, the biggest challenge is getting a person, the right person to listen to you. That's the biggest challenge. I've never had a warm introduction. They've always been cold. There are not one of these, there are many different people that you can reach out to. So if 20 or 30 or 50 don't talk to you, don't answer the call, but if only one in that area does, then you break down one wall. Then you take that kind of like, that's an achievement, and you leverage that and say to the rest of the world, okay, I've now brought New Balance on board. What do you think, Mr. Nike or someone else on that? That's a hell of a lot better than saying, because they don't know you, but they certainly know New Balance or Heidi Klum. They don't give a damn about you. And that's a big weapon in your arsenal, okay? The challenge is to get the first big one if you can. It takes a lot of perseverance, hungriness. It's not fun. I still hate it, but I had no choice. I have to do what I have to use a cliche. And it for the most part, you have to, it worked because you don't need too many wins to be extremely successful.
Fast forward now to your real estate business. Give us an overview right now about the services you're offering and also your portfolio and how you're working with your clients and what are basically the service offerings you are pursuing.
Of course. Well, my clients are investors, mainly in their 30s and 40s. So they're dedicated long-term. Real estate is a long-term game, as you know. And you can't be afraid of some risk because then you can't be in real estate. Money goes there, you don't see it right away. You know, it's not like a bank account. You know, and if you can't do that and wait 15, 20, 25 years and build over time, you shouldn't be in real estate. So they're all in their 30s and 40s. It's a long-term game for the most part. I don't have any older. And my responsibility, my job, I only win if I find them a property that they're going to buy and makes them money. I only get, you know, remunerated. So I work with a whole plethora of people to try to find them off market, not listed, apartment buildings or industrial sites, and introduce them to it. And to hope that at least one of them, after many sending their way, because you have to send many to get one, they will purchase it. That's what I do. I bring them, I try to bring them, you know, I have to also adapt to the times. What was so-called normal and acceptable in 2020, 21 COVID, where real estate, unlike most other industries, Mike, was exploding. It was not hurting at all, actually. COVID, it's bizarre, perverse to say, it was a very positive thing for real estate. We did it, you know, unfortunately, we're not like we. It did extremely well. It was on fire, as the expression says.
Why was that?
It's hard to say. Interest rates were extremely low as compared to what they are now, very low. And Montreal was not atypical. It was typical of all North America. So the market was right. People weren't doing much else but renovating and buying, looking for it. They couldn't go anywhere or do much else. And it was kind of like ingredients for perfect weather, not a perfect storm, and it worked. People were standing in line to buy, and Montreal wasn't any different than most major North American cities. I don't know about Europe, but in most Amer North American cities, experienced the same thing. It started to radically change when interest rates have obviously put a serious damper on everybody, have made it very challenging. Financing is very challenging, but it's not a Montreal, it's a global problem. Well, at least North America challenge. Financing is a big challenge. Insurance rates are a big, all this is a big challenge today. So, which means also it's a bigger, you know, but I've always believed there's always a way and never a way to make money. So it just means you got to work harder, smarter in trying to find the opportunity. There's always an opportunity. It's just more challenging to find the opportunity.
How do you make sure that you're sourcing the properties? Because I assume that's the biggest challenge, correct?
It's a combination, vetting investors. It's a multi-approach game. You speak to agents, you speak to professionals. It's an ongoing, continuous day in and day out battle. You don't know for sure. You just keep going.
Regarding the purchasing process, is it similar to the US?
They call it a promise to purchase, potentially. It's similar. I know they have different terminology in the States, but I think bottom line, it's a similar thing. If someone's interested in a property, the preliminary thing, he makes a promise to purchase, which that's all it means. But he says, okay, for X amount, and there could be a counter or back and forth. If it's accepted, there's a visit, or before there's a visit sometimes, or after there's an inspection, there's a whole due diligence. There's clauses for the financing. There's clauses for all different, time frames that have to be respected. They're very serious. If you're given 3 weeks, you're given 3 weeks, not 3 months, unless you ask for an extension. And at any time, really, if the often if the sellers, buyers, have a surprise in the building, because you don't know until you really kind of take things apart, which is part of what it is. You don't really know what's going on completely. You can visit it. You do the inspection. You do your due diligence. If you notice anything, you can renegotiate. You could try, or you can say it's not for me, either side. If they don't respect the financial conditions, the time frame or whatever they're supposed to do. So I think it's similar approach whether you're in New York, Chicago, Miami, or Montreal or Toronto. Just maybe they call it different words.
Makes total sense. Regarding international investors, also during COVID and right now, how's the situation there regarding people from buying outside of Canada? Is it even still possible? Because I heard something about Vancouver at least that they put a
Yeah,
cap on it.
yeah. I heard that too. It's not, what happened in Vancouver was people from Asia were buying up. I understood that it's not as prevalent from what I understand in Montreal. I
Okay.
think in Toronto also prevalent to some extent. Vancouver was quite prevalent, and the federal government put a law that you have to live here for a certain period of time. So obviously that put a bit of a challenge into people buying. It's not as much of an issue in Montreal, I don't think. I think that it depends on the classification what you're buying, too. So it's not so black and white. It depends on the classification. Certain classifications, I don't know if the same law applies. I'm not that familiar with it because I don't deal with international investors, and I don't really plan to. I have enough on my plate and challenge in dealing with. I deal with Montreal area investors. I could deal with investors in cities close to Montreal, like Toronto, Ottawa, which I understand. And I have nowhere near begun to leverage all them, and probably never will. I do not deal with international investors, so my knowledge on that is minimal.
Do you have any tips for first home buyers or general investors when investing in Montreal or also in general?
I think they should definitely, it depends what, why are they investing? You know what I mean? If they're out of town, that's important to know. Are they investing for just investment purposes? I don't think you can go wrong. I think because compared to the rest of the world, when you're saying Montreal's great value. Real estate is a basic bottom line increases around, they say, around 3% every year. Okay, Mike. But you buy something now, there's no question it's going to be worth X amount, generally speaking, more in 5 years or 10 years. Do they have the infrastructure if they're buying as an investment to manage it? To be careful about that, or who can they do they have the to and they get a buy to fix it up, to renovate. Do they have a team? Do they have the tools? You know what I mean? To do all that. If they're buying home, it's the same thing. And then you really got to throw yourself in, or maybe work with someone here, probably be better, and a partner where you supply certain parts of the partner and they supply, let's say, the dollars or whatever the case may be. That may make more sense, because wherever you go, real estate is a high price game. You have to have some knowledge. You're not buying hot dogs here and hamburgers. You know what I mean? You're not going to the grocery store. So you're buying property, whether it's a it's not much property is less than a couple of hundred thousand dollars, and real estate goes up to millions and millions very easily. So you got to approach with caution. I think Montreal, in principle, is a very attractive area. I think it's undervalued. I think it's under the radar. I think it's a great potential if someone has the time, the means, and the real inclination. That's a big thing to ask for.
Perfect. I know your time is limited, and I like to keep it short and crisp because you gave us a very good overview on the real estate market on Montreal. I know also that you have a huge track record and started many, many businesses, and especially the way that you guided us through the process of hitting rock bottom, which I guess, yeah, you don't wish many people, which is not a nice situation. Pardon me?
I don't wish anybody.
Exactly. And then going from there back to hustling your way up again, I think this is very inspiring. You also gave us a very nice overview on your service offerings and on the, yeah, on the attractiveness of Montreal as a real estate investment location. How can people contact you if they would like to buy real estate, or also if they have something to sell?
Well, may I just say one thing before that, if you don't mind?
Absolutely.
I have
yeah.
something important to me and relevant for me, and people knowing if I'm 70 going on 50, it fits. That's part of the reason why I'm here talking to you. I have this, what I have, my call to action for all your listeners, okay? What I think they need to do, whether they're in real estate or whatever the hell they're in, okay? Whether they want to write a book, whether they want to write a song, create a movie, be a doctor, be an artist, be in the real estate business, technology, but it doesn't matter what you do. This is the bottom line. That I say age is, but it's just a number, okay? And I'm reading because I haven't memorized it, and I hate memorizing it, but this is basically it. Okay, so this is the one to use. The call to action, basically, or what I'd like everybody to do is that age is but a number. Remember, I'm 70 going on 50, everybody. So whatever your age or circumstances, it's never too early or too late to pursue your dream and whatever you're called to do. So follow this podcast. I want you to make a list of three things that you want to accomplish. The first is something you want to do right now. The second is something you want to do this year. And the third is something you want to do in the next 3 years. Take a leap and start with your right now goal right now. For the second and third goals, start your planning with specific steps to achieve them right now. The only thing holding you back is you. Remember, I was 67 when I decided to get into the real estate business, or fortunate to get into it. So you're never too late or too old to pursue your goals and your dreams. But most important, I cannot repeat this enough, you have to start now. Every day, every hour, every year, because at some point, trust me, at some point, day is going to come when it's going to be too late. And not necessarily when you're 80 or 70. That's the myth. So if you're 20 years old listening to this, 25 and 30, don't fool yourself to think you have to be 80 when it's too late. You don't. As they say, stuff happens. They use another word, but I'll be, out of respect to the podcaster, polite and respectful. Stuff happens in life, as we know, as all of us know. So whether you're 20 or 80, you got to start now. To reach me, they can reach me on LinkedIn. Be my pleasure. You have my contact. If not, I can send it to you, Mike. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, but I think LinkedIn is probably the best. Most of the world's on LinkedIn, I would think. And if not, Instagram. And they could what's it called? DM me there, direct message me. Is that
yes, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. My email, everything is there. I'm pretty open book.
Perfect. I will put all these things into the show notes. I really appreciate your statement. And it made me think also about your long marriage. Because in the end, what we want, I believe, is someone you can rely on, someone who is there when you're not successful, but when you're sick. And I listened to one interesting podcast lately, and one lady was saying, real wealth is the community you have surrounded, which you can call when you are at rock bottom. And I think that's a very nice statement.
I think that, finding someone to love and love you is kind of like finding a coach that's the right one for you. You got to get lucky. Really, I'm convinced even after 36 years that with love, you got to get lucky. There's no question. Because, I see you meet so many people, men, woman, men, whatever in life, and you got to get lucky. Because my father said, it's not the love, it's living together. That's the challenge. And at the end of the way, it's got to be, it's living together. The love or the honeymoon is probably the easiest part. It's really the easiest part. But talk to me if you're together 10 years, 15, 20, 30, then we can talk. If you're together a few weeks, a few months, it doesn't, it's nice. It's a start, but it doesn't mean anything more than that. It's a start. You got to start somewhere. I agree. It's like a business. It's the same thing. If you got to start, I agree. It's great that you started. I love it. But if you're still a business and alive and making money and profit after 10 years, hey, man, then you've really, I got to listen to you because you're obviously doing something right, right? So love is a bit like that, in a way that, it's crazy and insane. And it's, you got to be lucky. There's no question. Lucky is not being going to Las Vegas. You got to be lucky in love, okay? It's not an easy thing to find.
Very well said. I like that. You have on your LinkedIn a post about 40 ways to stay young.
Yes. I'm glad you asked me. I appreciate that. I'm just starting, I put the first four ways only last week, if you notice, on my LinkedIn, and I got calls and emails from people mad at me. You know why they were mad at me? You're going to laugh. It's
because the 30s, the other 36 are missing.
Exactly.
I was looking for them.
Yeah, and they're frustrated as hell. They say, fuck, Myron, you can't say 40. I love the introduction. I love why you did it. I love the four. You can't just put four and then say every week. I'm not waiting 10 weeks to hear the rest. I'm going to, delete you. It's the funniest thing, but it's true. So I said, you're right. I'm talking to the lady who helps me with my social media tonight. And she's great because she's a genius on Alexa. She's phenomenal. But I'm going to tell her we got to do more. I don't want to do the whole thing because I said, you can't drag it. This is not America Got Talent. You're not that popular yet. So behave yourself, which is true. I'm not. So calm down, Myron. America's Got Talent can do whatever the hell they want to do. But you can't. And they're right. But I loved it. I loved the reason why. It made sense. And I'll repeat that. But where are your other 36 reasons? I want to hear them. The first three are, the first four are cool. But where are the other 36? Okay, at least give me a little bit more to chew on. So I think, it's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. We do it every Thursday. So look out, that's where I post. I try to, every Thursday. And we're gonna do another, I told her maybe six more to bring it to 10. And then we'll do maybe 10 at a time six at a time because I realize it's too far, it's not fair. And hopefully people like it. I think they will. Especially the last one. You got to stay for the last one. You're going to love that one.
Perfect. But I want to ask about the ones you already put because you put love someone, get lost in love as the first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that one a little bit?
Yeah, I just believe, it's not just love with a man or man or woman or woman, necessarily romantic. It could be a friend. It could be your dog. It could be your son. It could be your daughter. Love takes many ways, many, many manifestations, right? But thank God for love. There's no better thing in the world than love. So I don't mean necessarily just the romantic love. I mean, if it's love, there's a lot of things you can love. So, maybe you love a place, but you really do love it. You love a city, then get lost. What I mean is, I think love gives you a chance, if you allow it, to take you on a fairy tale. It's probably the best thing in life, really, to take you over the rainbow. If you allow it, it's like a magic carpet ride. It makes you bigger and more than what you are, okay? And again, it doesn't necessarily mean, when I say get lost, because it also, to me, it's not great. It ain't going to take you there unless there's a famous song by Frank Sinatra says called All the Way. So it's no good unless you love her all the way. And that's also, I think, important. But again, it's not necessarily a romantic love. It could be a town, a city. What do you really love? That it makes you feel happy. It makes you feel good. It doesn't always going to make you, but it makes you feel good. Only you know that. okay? And it could take many different forms and shapes, okay? But you got to have some things to love. Hopefully, a person will be part of that. But it's not the only thing. You know, there's certain sport events that when I go to them, I love going to them because I just feel great, happy, and there, you know? So you have your own. You do surfing, you told me, right? You go surfing. You must love surfing. Otherwise, you're not going to go every day. It obviously makes you feel good, feel great, and feel happy. Otherwise, you don't have to do it. There's no law that says you have to do it. You're doing it. So that's an example. Also, the great thing about love is that you're doing it because you have a chance to really utilize the soul and the emotions, which I think is the best part of us. You know, the French philosopher Blaise Pascal had a famous expression. And he said that the heart has its reasons that reason will never understand. I leave you with that.
Thank you so much, Myron. I really appreciate the conversation. I would love to have you on the show soon again. We can then talk about the remaining 36 other reasons. And then you can also give us an overview, an upmarket update on Montreal.
Yes.
We will be able to talk about all your other business ventures, which you have started throughout your career. Once again, sending the best regards to Montreal, and we talk soon.
We talk soon. Thank you. Best regards to Lisboa. Stay well and healthy, my friend.
Thank you so
Happy
much.
Happy surfing.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
This video is brought to you by Holocasa. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description.